This one.
Next. Have you ever stolen anything?
Well.
Next. Have you ever had adulterous thoughts?
Yeah, lots of times.
Hang on a second. I think the door is stuck. Could you jump up and down a couple times?
Okay.
Let's try this again. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Lots of times, before I became a Christian.
You trusted Jesus Christ to pay for your sins?
Yeah.
Mister, your penalty's already been paid. You're in the wrong line.
Oh, sorry.
Next!
I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior also.
Liar.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Welcome once again to American Exposé at 9 p.m. Central Time on First Amendment Radio. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on still the 16th of June, 2005. Dennis's information is very, very relevant to today's broadcast. His information is relevant every day he comes on to bring information to our attention. And today is no different, listeners. Today is no different at all. We're going to get this on the site very, very soon. Subchapter Roman numeral 4, Communist Control. Before we do that, however, we want to connect to an article by D.V. Kidd where she says, and quote, a nation can survive its fools and even its ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so they can no longer exist. A murderer is less to fear, end quote. Come from Marcus Tullius Serial, 42 BC. So what does DV Kid say? Bernie Sanders is an open socialist. This independent, quote-unquote, independent representative from the state of Vermont, who serves in the U.S. House of Representatives, is also a member of the Progressive Caucus, along with dozens of members of Congress. This is just another communist front group passing itself off as a choice for the people. What rubbish. There's no question Hillary Clinton is a Marxist if you understand the subject matter. In the past, both Bill and Hillary have been generous donors to the Institute for Policy Studies, a subversive organization vigorously investigated by the FBI. The government's indoctrination centers, called public schools, have done a magnificent job of dumbing down America's children for the past 40 years, so few adults today have any concept or understanding of a constitutional republic. Most believe our legal form of government is a democracy. The great programmer, also known as television, has done more to shape the minds of Americans than any classroom. Sadly, the result is a nation of people who, for the most part, can't recognize socialism or communism because it has been slyly spoon-fed to them over their lives. Over all their lives, listeners. DV Kidd has written before about the 45 communist goals entered into the congressional record, and certainly I have as well. And certainly we don't need to get into that to any great degree. It's on our website, Current Communist Goals of 1963. It's very, very apparent that many of them, if not all of them, are well under the way of total fulfillment. But she does state that develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength that is now our U.S. policy. Permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation or regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Also now U.S. policy. Extension of long-term loans to Russian and Soviet satellites. Now U.S. policy. Provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. All U.S. policy right now. Grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China in the United Nations, done deal. China is one of five veto-wielding permanent members of the UN Security Council. Promote the United Nations as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. And it's a done deal. And some communist leaders believe the world can be taken over as easily by the United Nations as by Moscow. And there's the point and the problem, listeners. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party, a done deal. Now, there's where I draw the line to the U.S. Code. A done deal? Well, certainly I've covered most of this before, listeners. But for the record, for you to get the CD to pass on to others, Congress finds, and keep in mind what I just covered, what DV Kidd just covered, about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. It constitutes an authoritarian dictatorship within a republic, demanding for itself the rights and privileges accorded to political parties, but denying to all others the liberties granted by the Constitution. Unlike political parties, which evolve their policies and programs through public means, by the reconciliation of a wide variety of individual views, and submit those policies and programs to the electorate at large for approval or disapproval, the policies and programs of the Communist Party are secretly prescribed for by the foreign leaders of the World Communist Movement. Its members have no part in determining its goals and are not permitted to voice dissent to party objectives. Unlike members of political parties, members of the Communist Party are recruited for indoctrination with respect to its objectives and methods, and are recognized, instructed, and disciplined to carry into action slavishly the assignments given them by their heretical chieftains. Unlike political parties, the Communist Party acknowledges no constitutional or statutory limitations upon its conduct or upon that of its members. The Communist Party is relatively small numerically and gives scant indication of capacity ever to attain its ends by lawful political means. The peril inherent in its operation arises not from its numbers, but from its failure to acknowledge any limitation as to the nature of its activities, and its dedication to the proposition that the present constitutional government of the United States ultimately must be brought to ruin by any available means, including resort to force and violence. Holding that doctrine, its role as the agency of the hostile foreign power renders its existence a clear, present, and continuing danger to the security of the United States. It is the means whereby individuals are seduced into the service of the World Communist Movement, trained to do its bidding, and directed and controlled in the conspiratorial performance of their revolutionary services. Therefore, the Communist Party should be outlawed. Oh, really? And so what do I see here? The best support for the troops is to bring them home. Remember all these slogans we're seeing on the television and around homes and these idiots in their vehicles with their little yellow ribbon, support our troops, which is total hogwash, total baloney, total redundant, ridiculous direction. But best support for the troops is to bring them home. This is dated 2003. And where does it come from? The Communist Party USA. Since the start of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, the Bush administration and its supporters in the media have been working overtime, perpetuating the old myth that protesting a war is unpatriotic and against our troops whose lives are on the line. Nothing could be further from the truth. The U.S. people have a patriotic duty to object to the rogue nation policies of George W. Bush and his Republican guards. Listeners, that sounds just like us, doesn't it? Most peace fighters see the unpatriotic slander for what it is, a way to silence opposition to this unjust war. Many are saying, quote, I support the troops, but I don't support Bush and his war, end quote. This war was imposed on the world despite overwhelming opposition from the United Nations, most countries, and most Americans. Although the United Nations is ready to take over the rebuilding of Iraq, listeners, and we're going to get that website up there with prominence as well. It's on the date of the 9th, June 9th, and you'll see it. And so there you have it. The sooner this courageous peace movement brings the war to an end, the fewer the casualties. The peace movement wants an end to the bloodshed so that more civilians and combatants on all sides will be wounded or killed, so that the soldiers can go home to their families and a negotiated settlement can be reached. Bush would like nothing better than to divert the focus of the protest onto the troops and away from himself, his administration, and the corporate interest he represents. The corporate media works to give the impression that the troops want war more than anybody else. Even if that were true, and it is not, the soldiers did not make the war policy. Anyway, there's more to this. Best support for the troops is to bring them home. That's exactly what we feel. Communist Party USA says the same thing. Go figure. But there's the Hegelian dialectic direction in place. The Associated Press carried a story on December 18, 2004, regarding the escalating violence in Mosul and the coming elections in Iraq. Buried in the article is the following comment, quote, although the election campaign officially kicked off Wednesday, So far, only the Iraqi Communist Party, which is part of the U.S.-installed interim government, was known to have had a public gathering, end quote. Several individuals contacted NWVs about this and expressed their outrage that our soldiers are being sent to die in a foreign country to establish communism. Hank Goller is a Vietnam veteran who commented, quote, "It's not bad enough that Bush invaded a foreign country without a formal declaration of war built on a mountain of lies. But now we find out our fighting brothers are dying to install communism. The whole government is rotten beyond redemption," end quote. Point is, the war he was in, Vietnam, was an undeclared UN war too. Blueprint for the Peace Race calls for observers of conflicts. Henceforth, both sides knew what we were going to do. We knew, North Vietnam knew. And that is major, major deception in place. All of the UN system. Very, very important to connect dots, to instill the knowledge in your brains so you can instill knowledge in other brains. It's very, very important, people. Very, very important to connect dots to what's being engineered today at this time, at this moment, at this very, very moment, on a constant basis. How much time do we have? People on the inside have to realize what this has all been engineered to do. So back in 1953, when militant patriotism was still in style, nobody believed the White House was planning any kind of gradual surrender of to the Soviet Union. And still, when the president of the Ford Foundation spilled the beans to a congressional committee man, it did sound unbelievable, barely, as Ron Gaither, then 44, admitted to Norman Dodd, chief counsel of the Congressional Reese Commission investigating the subversion in tax-free foundations, stating, quote, "I have news for you. Most of us at the executive level here were at one time or another active in either the OSS, the State Department, or the European Economic Administration. During those times, without exception, we operated under directives issued by the White House, the substance of which were to the effect that we should make every effort to so alter life in the United States as to make possible a comfortable merger with the Soviet Union. We are continuing to be guided by just such directives," end quote. And most Americans, old enough to remember the report, have long since shrugged it off because the press has not relayed any more such news since then. And there is a problem. Then you have Bush making a public speech on May 25th, 2002, in which he repeatedly referred to America as being a democracy. What is a democracy? But the code word for communism. That's the way it is. That's how deep it's become. That's why my words are so vital today and tomorrow. Because there's no time to play games. There's no time to play games about Michael Jackson and what happened with that. There's no time to play games with the football, baseball, basketball, go out on the golf course. There's no time for that anymore. We're in deep directions for totalitarian control. So, President George Walker Bush on May 25, 2002 made this statement, quote, "A new Russia to be our full partner. Our relationship with Russia will continue to grow. We're entering upon a new chapter in our relations with Russia. We have the opportunity to build a world that is safe. And we ask safe for whom? While China continues to build their military machine, including a much larger arsenal of deadly nuclear bombs, George Walker Bush has committed the United States to a law which he signed within the last year that requires another large round of U.S. military bases to be shut down. And certainly that started in the year 2003. BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure. I've covered it on a constant basis. Continually. On a constant basis. And here is this article that I covered many months ago. In the meantime, while we sleep, Texas set to build mega highways. Comes from the Oklahoman, December 30th, 2004. And what sounds like another tall tale told by a tall Texan, Oklahoma's neighbor to the south, has embarked on an audacious project to build superhighways so big, so complex, they will make ordinary interstates look like cow paths. The Trans-Texas Corridor project, as envisioned by Republican Governor Rick Perry, which is a total lie, in 2002, would be a 4,000-mile transportation network costing $175 billion. Over 50 years, it would be financed mostly, if not entirely, with private money. What is that called, listeners? A United Nations public-private partnership. That's what it is, a public-private partnership. It is not envisioned by Republican Governor Rick Perry from Texas. Not hardly. It was planned for long in advance, probably long in advance of him even thinking about running for governor. Lies, lies, lies continue to be published in the papers. Proving to you that everything's big in Texas, and that's BS too. These would be mega highways, corridors, NAFTA corridors, I interject, up to a quarter mile across, consisting of as many as six lanes for cars and four for trucks, plus railroad tracks, oil and gas pipelines, water and other utility lines, even broadband cables. I made a statement to Darren that I thought it was going to be 4 miles wide. I'm mistaken. Supporters say the corridors are needed to handle the expected NAFTA-driven boom in the flow of goods to and from Mexico and to enable freight haulers to bypass cities. What ridiculous, redundant information. The number of corridors and exactly where they would run have to yet to be worked out. But the Texas Transportation Commission on December 16th opened negotiations with the Spain-based consortium Centra to start the first phase of the project, a $7.5 billion 800-mile corridor that should stretch from Oklahoma to Mexico and run parallel to Interstate 35. Insane. Jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what they call it. And yet they're going to be foreigners. But as the plan rumbles along in the first lane, or in the fast lane, some have called it a Texas-sized boondoggle. Environmentalists are worried about what it would do to the countryside, ranchers and farmers who stand to lose their land through eminent domain or mobilizing against it. Small towns and big cities alike fear a loss of business when traffic is diverted around them. Yeah, and that's a good statement to make. It's a ridiculous direction. In the meantime, you have road removal. Road removal. I covered some of that the other night. And I think that's going on in Minnesota, road remover. Removal. There's so much going on. On September 30th, 2004, the House and Senate approved legislation, H.R. 5183, to extend the Federal Service Transportation Program for 8 months until May 31st, 2005. That measure was approved unanimously by the Senate, 409-8. The extension includes an important provision that redirects the revenue stream from 2.5 cents per gallon of the ethanol motor fuel excise tax that is currently deposited in the Federal General Fund to the Highway Trust Fund for for fiscal year 2004. As a result, highway trust fund revenues for the year are expected to grow by $940 million. You have the government-controlled schools brainwashing the children, listeners. You have these very, very, very sinister directions going on in our country, and most people don't even care. Most people aren't concerned. And yet, you go to Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter 4, Section 842, Proscription of Communist Party, its successors and subsidiary organizations, the Communist Party of the United States, or any successors of such party, regardless of the assumed name, whose object or purpose is to overthrow the government of the United States, or the government of any state, territory, district, or possession thereof, or the government of any political subdivision therein by force and violence, are not entitled to any of the rights, privileges, and immunities attendant upon legal bodies created under the jurisdiction of the laws of the United States or any political subdivision thereof. And whatever rights, privileges, and immunities which have heretofore been granted to said party or any subsidiary organization by reason of the laws of the United States or any political subdivision thereof are terminated, provided, however, that nothing in this section shall be construed as amending the Internal Security Act of 1950, as amended 50 U.S. Code 781 et sec. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm telling you this because it's obvious what's going on. There's never been a time in human history that so much information was available for you to absorb. So what does DV Kid say? Bernie Sanders is an open socialist. This independent representative of the state of Vermont, who serves at the U.S. House of Representatives, is also a member of the Progressive Caucus, along with dozens of members of Congress. This is just another communist front group passing itself off as a choice for the people. There's no question Hillary Clinton is a Marxist, if you understand the subject matter. In the past, both Bill and Hillary have been generous donors to the Institute for Policy Studies, a subversive organization vigorously investigated by the FBI. Is the FBI infiltrated? I don't know. Everything can be infiltrated with the right people in place. The government's indoctrination centers called public schools have done a magnificent job of dumbing down America's children for the past 40 years. So few adults today have any concept or understanding of a constitutional republic. Most believe our legal form of government is a democracy. The great programmer is known as television, has done more to shape the minds of Americans than any classroom. Sadly, the result is a nation of people who, for the most part, can't recognize socialism or communism because it has been slowly spoon-fed to them over their lives. So what are they saying? And the communist goals resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. A done deal, even though in the U.S. Code, it's an outlaw party. Do away with all loyalty oaths, done deal. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States, both parties are controlled, done deal. Infiltrate the press, done deal. Gain control of key positions of radio, television, motion pictures, done deal. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs. Hinders through cooperation between nations as a worldwide basis, a done deal. Discredit the American Founding Fathers. Eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Abolished in 1975, listeners. The point is, hearings before a subcommittee of the Committee on Foreign Relations, United States Senate. Revision of the United Nations Charter, Thursday, February 9th, 1950. You have to change glasses for this one. Uh, They say, whereas in order to achieve universal peace and justice, the present charter of the United Nations should be changed to provide a true world government constitution. And whereas Article 109 of the present charter of the United Nations provides for a general conference to make alterations in said charter. And whereas similar amendatory powers in the Articles of Confederation were used by the people of the United States in 1787 to adopt a new constitution to ensure a unified, peaceful nation. And whereas the combined effort of many intelligent citizens...
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Hear that? That's the sound of nearly 3 million American jobs being flushed down the toilet. What caused it? NAFTA. 10 years ago, Congress passed NAFTA. It was supposed to boost our economy. Instead, we lost millions of jobs and the nation is still hurting. But now Congress is quietly considering doing it again, but worse this time, by creating a free trade area of the Americas, also called the FTAA. This would outsource millions more American jobs and businesses. How can our country survive this devastation again? Learn how you can help. Visit www.stoptheftaa.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1. Log on to our website and let Congress know that you think FTAA is not an option for America's future. Stoptheftaa.org and keep American jobs in America.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Succession from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
And welcome back to the broadcast. Oh, connecting dots are very, very easy at this point in time. This review of the United Nations Charter, certainly that, well, let's just go to the meat and potatoes of this situation. I believe this is Glenn Taylor, Senator Glenn Taylor. I have always been a firm believer in using the United Nations and doing everything possible to strengthen this existing instrument into an adequate world organization. All my votes in the Senate on foreign policy issues have been based upon the firm belief that the United Nations should be strengthened and used in every possible way. Consequently, my resolution attempts to strengthen this existing world organization and give it the power necessary to enact, interpret, and enforce world law. Historical precedent in the writings of our own Constitution can be followed in adopting an entirely new Constitution for the United Nations, preferably one such as that drafted by the Committee to Draft a World Constitution. The United Nations Charter provides for calling a convention to amend or make alterations to the existing charter, and this entirely new constitution can be adopted in the same manner that the Constitution Convention adopted our Constitution to replace the Articles of Confederation. If this machinery is not used and the United Nations continues to have inadequate power, I have provided an alternate method for the people of the world through their own constitutional convention to create a true world government with the firm foundation of a constitution such as that drafted by the Committee to Draft a World Constitution, thus providing the basis of world law based on justice. And there's much more to this. I moved down here, and it says the Charter of the United Nations should and should be changed to provide a true world government constitution. Okay, back to the other glasses. Okay, there is so much here, so much going on, so much information that I can't even find where I was. Well, let's just go back here. Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter 4, 843, Application of Internal Security Act of 1950 to members of Communist Party and other subversive organizations, Communist Party defined, A, whoever knowingly and willfully becomes or remains a member of, 1, the Communist Party, or 2, any organization having for one of its purposes or objectives the establishment, control, conduct, seizure, or overthrow the government of the United States or the government of any state or political subdivision thereof by the use of force or violence, with knowledge of the purpose or objective of such organization, shall be subject to all the provisions and penalties of the Internal Security Act of 1950. And B, for the purposes of this section, the term Communist Party means the organization now known as the Communist Party of the United States of America, the Communist Party of any state or subdivision thereof, or any unit or subdivision of any such organization, whether or not any change is hereafter made in the name thereof. Communism is dead, listeners, but the U.S. Code says it's not. We have communitarianism in America today. Communitarianism is communism with a smiley face. Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter of Roman Numeral 4, Section 844. In determining membership or participation in the Communist Party or any other organization defined in this act, or knowledge of the purpose or objective of such party or organization, the jury, under instructions from the court, shall consider evidence, if presented, as to whether the accused person, 1, has been listed to his knowledge as a member in any book or any of its lists, records, correspondence, or any other document of the organization. 2, has made financial contribution to the organization in dues, assessments, loans, or any other form. In other words, Bill and Hillary Clinton should be tried for treason in America. Bernie Sanders should be tried for treason in America. This country. Treason. And this is where we are today. Planning on mega highways, road removal, rewilding America, the Biodiversity Treaty, all 40 chapters of Agenda 21 being put into place under implementation, the dumbing down in our schools. If you're not actively waking other people up in whatever other mannerism you can, you're helping to exasperate the problem and situation. That is where it is. Never in human history has it been a better time to wake up human beings, our fellow man, the people around the world, about the direction that our country has turned. And Section 844, determination by jury of membership in Communist Party, participation, or knowledge of purpose. Number 3, has made himself subject to the discipline of the organization in any form whatsoever, has executed orders, plans, or directives of any kind of the organization, has acted as an agent, courier, messenger, correspondent, organizer, or in any other capacity in behalf of the organization. What are they talking about? They're talking about the Communist Party people. Bernie Sanders should be tried for treason. in the meantime, our military is moving out of this country, most out of this country. We have FEMA to take care of us in the future. All to wear the black uniform in the next created crisis that we'll be having in the very near future. The other night, and there's much more to this, and we'll get it up on the website. I'll call Darren tonight. The other night I was talking about the possibility of a tsunami hitting us. There was an earthquake going on off the shore of California as I was speaking. As Darren called me and woke me up with that fact. And the information on the website, California quake prompts brief tsunami warning. Evacuations in Oregon, listeners. Evacuations in Oregon. Control. As we see here, a tsunami warning Tuesday night prompted widespread evacuations up and down the Oregon coast, but no injuries were reported, and emergency management officials said concern over the warning subsided quickly. The warning was prompted by a magnitude 7.0 earthquake that struck the sea floor about 90 miles off Crescent City, California, on Tuesday night. On Tuesday night, I was talking about the scenario that a major tsunami could hit this country to bring us to our knees because too many people are waking up in America. And what a way to shut it down. How coincidental can that be? How much more coincidental can it possibly get when I'm talking about the fact that this could happen? And it was happening right the same minute when I was talking about it. Just about the same minute. The insanity is at a crescendo today. Under information by Bernadie Smith, under the illusion of a program to curb crime, it appears that a new system to control the people is being saddled upon the people with neighbors, reporting on neighbors. We don't live in a communist country yet, do we? Yeah, we do. Very close. Communist infiltration in all centers of society today, and people don't even know they're communists when they do what they do. In a recent California newspaper article, it was reported that sheriff deputies are canvassing county areas. The initial purpose is to conduct a survey to find out, quote, what the concerns and needs of the people in the community are, end quote. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But they do not want the citizens to feel alarmed if a deputy suddenly shows up at their front door asking questions. Residents are told that they are being offered, quote, a chance to give feedback to the sheriff's department, end quote, and to participate in a survey to find out what the community needs are. The sheriff's department wants to learn about, quote, problems in their community that involve crime or drugs that the neighbors feel need investigation, end quote. The deputies in uniform will knock on doors and ask questions of those adults who wish to participate. They're also being asked if they wish, quote, to participate in the Citizens on Patrol program, where they will work with law enforcement to help protect their communities, end quote. They're They're also being asked to rate the service of the sheriff's department. Quote, do you feel the neighborhood is safe, end quote. Commander Don Deeds makes this comment, quote, it helps us to reach that level of service they're wanting, end quote. How insane is this getting? Hitler set up a system by which he could manage every household, the neighborhood, which was called the German word Gau, had an appointed informant in each. The person in charge of the neighborhood, G-A-U, Gau, was also an informant to Hitler's dictatorial regime. He called the Gauleiter. Information on the people within those neighborhoods was fed upward by means of the Gauleiter for use of that toleration administration. I'm sorry, the totalitarian administration. In turn, instruction was relayed downward through the same conduct as the Gauleiter reviewed instructions as to what thought and behavior would be tolerated by the administration. Same thing happened in Nazi Germany, listen. I mean, Soviet Union, period. I'm saying Soviet America, well, we're there. Yes, we are in Soviet America. Billed as a crime prevention program, such as a system, is now taking shape in our nation. Unfortunately, the sheriffs do not comprehend how much we have copied from Hitler's management systems, and I totally agree with blaming Hitler completely. When I have Hanzo Molina on next Wednesday night, I'll ask him the same question. He'll say, yes, it happened in Czechoslovakia. Yes, it happened in the Soviet Union. Yes, he lived it. Yes, he has friends that live it today. People have reported that our 1968 Gun Control Act is a duplication of the Nazi legislation and was lifted almost in its entirety from the Nazi weapons law of March 18, 1938. After the collapse of the German Third Reich in 1945, the United States planners brought many of Adolf Hitler's scientists to the USA. They received a tremendous augmentation when they rummaged over what was left of Hitler's Third Reich, and the United States retrieved not only Hitler's scientists, but also adopted the inductive type of reasoning and logic that was used to operate the totalitarian government. They saw that through planning systems that Hitler's regime used, and they seized upon the thoroughness of Hitler's management systems. Also, techniques and elementary concepts were emerged with the American government management systems and were introduced as a systematic process of solving sequential problems. Another duplication was recently achieved by the Oval Office, or the Oval Orifice, of the federal government, in which time the Homeland Security Agency was instituted. The establishment of the Homeland Security Agency seriously altered the framework of our American government. The civilian law enforcement and the military were merged together under the control of one agency head. And it should have been a no-no because law enforcement is a prerogative that belongs exclusively to the people of the states. The civilian law enforcement and the military are never merged together in a republic, if it is to remain a republic. Republic is a very important word to use, even though the Chinese use it, for our dumbing down process, nothing more. For over 215 years in America, a sharp line has always separated the military from the civilian law enforcement, and today that line no longer exists because the two are merged. This nation is now structured for operation under a military concept of government. Sheriffs and other law enforcement officials have been restricted and now restructured under the command and control of the Homeland Security Agency. Every police officer throughout this nation now online and beholden to the militarization of civilian law enforcement under unified command by the Homeland Security Agency. We all know this. In order for an American police officer to retain his or her certification, He or she is required to report annually for a 40-hour training course held under the authority of the Homeland Security Agency. In the past years, training courses for certification of police officers covered three subjects: firearms, sexual abuse of a child, and domestic violence. This year in 2005, the order has come from the Bush administration to alter this federally controlled training course so that it now instructs these three subjects: firearms, sexual abuse of a child, and unified command. Those that do the planning behind the scenes intend to either eliminate our sheriffs entirely or reduce his powers to that. The sheriff is no higher in rank than a regular beat officer. Bernadine Smith asks, do you see any danger ahead in the mergers going on to unite federal marshals and sheriffs together in the same reorganized office? Insane. Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane stuff going on today, listeners. Totally insane. And in the meantime, what do we have going on? Weather technology. As far-fetched as the subject may seem, leaders in the elite global establishment have intimidated the existence of this strategy, or intimated, and its capabilities. In 1970, Zbigniew Brzezinski published a book titled Between Two Ages. Brzezinski is one of the founding directors of the Trilateral Commission. In this book, he said, quote, technology will make available to the leaders of major nations techniques for conducting secret warfare in which only a bare minimum of the security forces need to be appraised. Technology of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm, end quote. And the insanity ends in place, listeners. This is entitled Weather Modification from Philip Hogue. Further confirmation by the Western power elite's interest in weather modification was revealed in an article in which it appeared in September 12, 1989 edition of the Washington Post. This article reported on the 1989 Tokyo Conference on Global Environment. The president of the World Bank, Barbara Connable, who is also a Trilateral Commission member, gave a speech in which he outlined the long-range goals of the One World Elite. In his speech, he said, quote, while higher temperatures may cause a number of natural disasters, they also might warm cold and unproductive lands in the north into productivity, end quote. And we have global warming today, listeners. There is very good evidence that the One World Group and the Soviets have been jointly involved in weather modification over the Northern Hemisphere since the early 1970s. In 1971, it was alleged that the U.S. and the Soviets started operating or cooperating in secret weather modification projects. One such project was named POLEX, Polar Experiment of the Global Atmospheric Research Program, and another in 1973 called AIDGEX, the Arctic Ice Dynamics Joint Experiment. It is purported that these experiments involved attempts to melt the polar ice cap. Other U.S. projects such as Nile Blue, Climate Dynamics, involve the changing of the Arctic ice pack. That was even an article in the December 16, 1980 edition of the New York Times discussing a joint U.S.-Soviet project involving the transmission of ELF waves from Antarctica designed to, quote, interfere with the Earth's magnetic field. What do I have here? But from the U.S. Department of State, Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification and Techniques, entered into force October 5th, 1978. What do they say? Use of environmental modification techniques for hostile purposes does not play a major role in military planning at the present time. You can't believe what the State Department says. Such techniques might be developed in the future, however, and would pose a threat of serious damage unless action is taken to prohibit their use. In July 1972, the U.S. government renounced the use of climate modification techniques for hostile purposes, even if their development were proved to be feasible in the future. I'm sorry, people. I'm a little congested today. And kind of hindering my ability to get the information to you at this point in time. But we are out of time anyway. So much information, so much. We're going to try and get this up on the website, too. In the weather modification section, Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. And we'll try and get this information by Philip Hogue up on the weather modification site. We'll get the U.S. code information about communism on the site. Bernie Smith's information is on today's date. Number 10, blind obedience to orders from the high, or from on high. Electronic passports may make traveling American targets. Lots of information on the website. Lots. You could spend hours on the website. The major number 8, Russian War Preparations by J.R. Nyquist. I suggest you read it, print it, pay attention to it. Much of it that he says is very obvious. Hansa Molina, a regular on the broadcast on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central Time on the DGST Hour, Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Support Melody Cederstrom at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Melody Cederstrom needs your support to continue to support me, because what's the next step? To get this hour on shortwave radio. That's the next step. This broadcast is being rebuilt again. With your support, it won't have to be rebuilt again somewhere else. Darren Weeks is very, very important and vital to me. Listen to him tomorrow night and Monday night as well. Darren Weeks, the head webmaster.